As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Psalms 103:12-14. So since we build this, as far as the east is from the west, the multitude of nations farther than I can see, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Our transgressions cannot be the iniquity of condemnation of our fellow brothers and sisters, but it's our transgressions of the enactment. It's the actual laboring in the works of the deeds, continuing to follow the darkness. It is removed from us. Chains, sin, wickedness, and death have been lifted off of us. As a father shows compassion to his children, righteous children. Why? Because you're learning. Regardless if you're continuing to fail, to crawl, to stumble, you are continuing to be righteous within that, because ignorance truly is bliss, right? We believe that. So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. But do we fear the Lord? Or is fear an obstructed view? Is it a sense of love? Don't you have love for the Lord? You shall only have one Lord. Right? You just have a hard time being negligent to your Christ, your Savior, your Redeemer. He is my counsel, my advocate. He's the one that I seek. He's the only one that I shall need. In every way, shape, or form will I find fulfillment within him. Oh my goodness. Think about what I'm saying. For he knows our frame. What are we building on? What's this on a frame? A door? Window? Things like that, right? So things that you can open. And this is relevance. You're opening the door to what? You're climbing the stairway. I see eternity. There's light at the end of the tunnel. When one door closes, another one opens. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As he is in the beginning, as it shall be in the end. And as it is in the end, as it shall be in the beginning, and vice versa. The first become last and the last become first. Oh my goodness. That's a little extreme to grasp all that, isn't it though? But the point being, our transgressions, which is our iniquities, right? No more of us being flagrant or being belligerent, right? Outright bonkers, if you would, in every aspect, in the ways that we were taught not to be. Can you already get filthy and crazy with it? Well, of course. Of course, take it there. Have compassion. Show interest, right? Take it to a point to where nobody else has ever taken it within your sense of sustainment, so that you believe, you feel, you perceive it, and it's about him. You take it and you give it back to the Lord. But he shows compassion to us, because even when you think you're suffering, you're still alive. Are you breathing? Are you okay? Sometimes we feel like we need to ask that to one another. But that is the moral condemnation. Even social reprimandation from somebody else can be condemnation. I don't quite have it. I think that I'm bitter. I think that I'm bitten. No, I don't want to talk to you. It's okay. Life goes on. I get it. And what does it get wrapped up on? For he knows our frame. Those are some things we just can't run from. You can't run from the truth. No, you can run from lies. You can run from your past. But these are good examples. You can run from that crazy ex-wife. Seen her holding her mouth all crazy. Hell no, I'm out. Peace. Woo. You know, I think different, right? Forgive me. But we return to where we came from. But where did you come from? You heard me, right? Did you hear me? Who are you? By the way, where's you going? And where's you come from? Remember? Did you remember? And I reference it often. Where'd you come from? It's because it's your roots that are instilled in this world. It's your beliefs, what you find to be valuable. It doesn't care if there's morality involved. It's best in my moral interest. I have a political view that favors my outcome on a professional level. Nobody cares. Why would they? It's truly about you. It's your life. You need to live to the condemnation of your own beliefs. Wait, let me scratch the head here a little bit. You said return to where you came, dust. And the reference is the condemnation that you believe in. Do the rest of us have to be condemned for the rest of our lives? Can we live by the love, by the grace, by the acceptance? Well, there is no restrictions or limitations. But you make it practical when you bring it into your life, into that sphere. I bring it into my heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. It exists. You know what? Let me ask somebody else, see what they think. Do you mind? I like it. So we return back to him humbly so, even if we don't want to acknowledge it. We get bitter, battered, bruising, lacerations, skin split wide open. I'm outright bleeding here. Can you help? And we come stumbling, crawling back to Christ. We walk back up to him. God, help me. Did you Jeremy, God help me. In our lowest and darkest hours, God help me. But only until we get to that point. And of course, here's the mentality of condemnation of some individuals in this world that have possessiveness of entitlement of rank. Well, no, I've got rank. I can make decisions on others. So now you must face everything until you can get to the point where you've learned how to accept your Lord. Otherwise, you shall return back to dust. That's extreme, though, isn't it? My goodness. Snarred, bitter, badden. Outright sounds fruitful, doesn't it? I'm expecting abundance. Somebody better close the traps. I think different. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. That's amazing, though, isn't it? So there is nothing that's out of reach within that context. That is undoubtedly one of the best aspects of hope, faith, and belief that we have. And that was Mark 11:24. I'll reference it again. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. Now, where do you go for that, though? Where's the calling? Where's the need? Are you walking up to, like, the soup line? You got a star on your jacket. You're like, hide me, please. I'm hungry. Hide me. You know, you don't go to your Creator and Savior like that. You're suffering. You're in need of food, of sheltering, of clothing. Hide me. I'm hiding from my own iniquity. Or I'm not surrounded by greatness. I want to be revived. I want to be redeemed. I want to outright shine. You know what I mean? I want you to be my guide and light each and every day. You've already received it. You've already got everything that you want. I think it's part of the morale, right? You get over the want and the need. And that's what they would say. But Christ is capable of fulfilling every want and need that you shall ever have. And your wants and needs are no more than a direct reflection of how He is valued in your life. I couldn't do it without you. You ever had spouses like that? I never did. Forgive me, it didn't work out. I've been single for like 7 years. I apologize. Lord, forgive me. But I want to. I'm curious. I'm beyond curious. I'm a sense of commitment, yeah. Compassion, sure. Love, unconditional, yeah, absolutely. Commitment, yeah, I like it. But think about that. Have you ever loved that way? It's a tough one, isn't it? That's within your best interest to love Christ. And then we love Christ together. So there is no failing. There's no expectation. I don't want to change you. I don't want you to be somebody else that you don't want to be. In fact, I'm happy with you for who you are. I'm capable of being receptive to unconditional love. I send it. I receive it. It's going in and out. I like that. Think about what I'm saying. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we just got literally Easter. Incarnation, remission of our sins. If you confess it with your mouth, confession, forgiveness, repentance, you've heard me, you've seen me. I'm down on bending knees. Yeah. And I take it there, right? So Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. Believe in your heart. Heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. Somewhere about an existence. I'm thinking about GPS location, longitude, and latitude. I need the numbers real quick. Dial me in. But in your heart, not in thought and logic and reason or theory, but actually within your heart. And if you don't believe within your heart, the heart stops. Did you remember? The heart stops. Well, that's all we have, isn't it? The heart beats, but it also stops. And when the heart stops, we don't have anything. Why question existence completely? I didn't know if it was right, wrong, good, or bad. I'm worried. But I know the heart stops. So believe in your heart and keep that passion. Keep the heart beating. Keep the pulse if you would. Very good. And you grow within it. And it is the only notion as to why. Boom, 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 boom. It keeps moving. You don't have to be held back, tormented, or tortured. The resentment of obligation is no longer a benefactor. Who is the beneficiary of you breathing, of you being alive? Somebody must be happy. Oh, wait, resentment of obligation. How many individuals do you got in your life that don't have expectations for you? Well, I can name one. You've got Christ. He don't have expectations for you. Well, he outright unconditionally loves you. Yeah, consensual agreements, sure. Sure. You want to be saved and redeemed. You want to live a life, a bountiful harvest fulfillment. And now all of a sudden, I don't have anybody. But you do. You've got yourself, remember? And you've got Christ. And now nobody's got any expectations of you. I think it's hard, though, isn't it? The brass tacks of life. I've had to be somebody else that I didn't want to be for, like, my whole life. I just got, like, used to it. You hear about these tormenting stories of spouses that were with these individuals that they didn't belong with. I did everything that he wanted me to. He couldn't survive without me. He can't live without me. I mean, I took the kids to school. I did the laundry. I kept the house clean. I cooked all the meals. I paid all the bills. She had all the hair done, nails done, everything done. You know what I mean? So she got the wig. She got the lashes, the nails. Mm-hmm. Well, I see you. You look real nice. When she left, too, she ended up getting whipped, the car, all of it. Mm-hmm. Where true value is. But he couldn't survive without her. But that's a tough one. The heart stopped. I wonder if Christ was involved. That's the only way the heart will stop, if Christ is involved. And if he shall not be involved, then it's no more than theory and reason. Emotional attachment to logic? It couldn't be. How should it be? I'm still breathing. At what point does theory and reason get nullified that the existence of life prevails? What does that mean? I'm still alive. I've conquered death. Seriously? Yeah, of course. Didn't you hear about it? I'm choosing to live. I don't want to be dead anymore. I don't care. So what? You got expectations of me. You don't like me. You don't like the decisions I make. Oh, you don't think that it's politically or morally correct. But who is God? Who is Christ? At what point in life are you going to stop asking, needing, and denying approval? What does that actually mean, though? At what point in your life are you going to tell other individuals, I'm out, peace. I'm throwing deuces up, right? So peace, I'm out. Because at what point does the pulse, the heartbeat go back to Christ? And I stand on that solid foundation. I'm no longer in need of the inequity. You know, it's cool to see everybody together. Y'all want to reminisce real quick? Help me light up a campfire, sing kumbaya. Anybody got a guitar? Strum up some business. I ain't mad at you. You know, I mean, I really ain't mad at you. But when we take it to that sense of resentment, that God is only in theory and reason, that your Lord, your creator, that you shall return to dust. Dust is where you were created from. Boy, you lose everything real quick. But where did it come from, by the way? Right? Have you ever, like, borrowed anything? Can I, like, borrow your writing pen? I'm going to write down my phone number. Check, yes or no. Right? Very good. Yeah. You borrow it after you're done using it. You hand it back to that person. Are you borrowing life from somebody else? This is a loaner. It's only a lease. I make monthly payments. Don't worry about it. I mean, I don't write own mine. You know what I mean? I ain't mad at you. I ain't got that big bank account. I can't write the checks. But you know what? I own mine. Very, very good. So don't have the resentment of obligation. Because the reason that the heart stops is the same reason that the heart beats. But it's your choice and your decision, whether it's on or off, accepted or denied. Wait, isn't these restrictions and boundaries limitations? It still needs to be about God? Boy, that's a tough one. Let me take a deep breath. I'll get back to you. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. That's another tough one. I'm sitting here gasping for air. Hey, I can't even breathe. Did you hear it? The lungs is extreme. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hope, faith, belief. I'm invested, right? A sense of sediment, right? Compassion. I don't know if it's sovereignly notions. Think about it. Submissiveness cannot be bondage. How could it be? It's only a devoted path of truth. Seeking, you shall find. This is what I seek. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. Exists where, though, shall you ask? Somebody said within your heart. Not in your heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. Very good. Heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. Somebody even said that your body is the temple. How's that going? The synagogue, the focal point. Mm-hmm. Come, deliver me. Come. Come into my heart, soul, and mind. Deliver me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm praising out to it, proclaiming the faith. I like it. It's not a testament, though, of denial. It's the acceptance of within him. The boundaries of limitations are no more than the consensual acceptance that I need to lace my boots up and walk out the door. If you shall ever be lost, don't be afraid to hit this button. You will go right back to the advocate. You'll go right back to the shepherd. You'll go right back to the architect. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. And he will find a path for you to make it home. Excellent. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Amazing. So here's the breakdown. What the heart is actually capable of. The heart one believes and is justified. Heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. You hear me say that's not of Christ? Are you going to stop the heart? I've been telling these individuals this. I got DEA sending me paper in the mail. They're making me pay for the postage. I got another county. They're scheduling court dates for me. I'm looking at them. I'm being 100% honest. I'm raising the hand. I'm out like this. No, you're going to have to stop the heart. They didn't get it. They still didn't get it. I said, no, you're going to have to stop the heart. See if you can stop the heart. So all of a sudden, with the heart, one believes and is justified. Whoo, it's justified. I mean, I think that supersedes. And I don't like rank. I don't like comparison. Looking at the pie graph charts, things like this, comparison notion of percentages. What's the actual worth and capability? What about eternity? Stop the bondage, the expectation, the immorality of why you're actually alive. I don't like it. With the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Jeez, what are you talking about this day and age? Trending topics, and we are saved because of the relevance. We make it practical. Do you see it all the way through? Remember where it's going to return to. It's returning to dust, where it started from and where it was came. Creation itself, boy, that's a tough one. Sometimes I got to take a real deep breath. I got to think about it. So we confess our inequities to our Creator and our Savior, and fleshing out your thoughts and ideas is very, very good. You release it, that energy, that testament, the inequity, even in failing relationships, whether they're personal or professional. You release that energy. You talk about it. You don't have to talk about it to somebody else. You can look in a mirror. You can talk out loud. You can go for a run. You can go for a walk. You can do what you'd like. But it is the confession that draws you back into Him, because immediately you're saved. You're redeemed. I feel a whole lot better. Boy, I mean, I got good counsel. I got Christ, my Lord and Savior and Redeemer, on my side. And there is nobody that can be the intervention or the mediator within that relationship. You know what I mean? I'm still not mad at you. So every day, your purest form of testament, not being guilty. Guilty in what? A sense of remorse? Hell no. Forgive me. Woo. I apologize. I'm thankful to be redeemed, to be alive, and to have this opportunity to breathe. I'm not looking to be condemned. No, it's all right. You got bit by that dog. I ain't mad at you. I understand. If you want, we can go to the hospital, see if we can get you a shot. Make sure you ain't got rabies or something crazy like that. One thing goes to the next. For you know it, it's bing, bam, boom. Out the door you go. I like it like that. Forgive me. I think different. But we shall not, in any way, shape, or form, be restricted or be limited. But the same goes for the darkness, doesn't it? When you seek that darkness, when it gets rare that you're finding the brightness of the night, think about what I'm saying. When it becomes rare that you're finding the brightness of the night, you can take that darkness just as far as you want. You want to have social expectation of somebody else? Physical implication? I mean, I got outright means for you. What do you mean? Unconditional love doesn't have expectations. How could it? How could His love for you... That's all Christ has got for you, by the way. And a little bit of forgiveness, naturally, because of Him, salvation, incarnation. Very good. But if all He's got for you is love, right? How could there be expectations? How could there be resentment? How could it be that you're not living up to my standard? That human being that you're referencing, God's creation, your fellow brothers and sisters, the ones that you shall have love for, you shall love as thyself. Very good. I apologize. Well, they're no more than the same person you are. But why are you choosing to hate yourself and choosing to hate them? They can't be God. They can't be Christ. When you try to turn them into God or Christ, you're not going to be happy. I seen this girl. She was beautiful. She was amazing. She was blonde. She had these beautiful eyes. She's real sassy with her like personality, real deep, quiet, passionate. I loved it. All these qualities and traits that she had. I read into her. I read Heart, Souls, and Minds. I really get deep into it, right? I read into her. And I told her, and not that I didn't like her. I mean, my Lord, have mercy. Individuals would be down on their knees begging. They're coming up to the soup line and they don't even have a bowl nor a spoon. All they have is their hands. Here, please. Please. Right? Very good. And individuals would beg to get the opportunity to even be an acquaintance with her. And the only confession that I could think of as I'm trying to find God logically in theory and reason and practicality within discipline and degree and the actual walk of competence that I'm possessing within my own capability and means is if I were to choose to love you the way you want me to love you, you wouldn't be happy. Think about what I'm saying. If I were to choose to love you the way you want me to love you, you wouldn't be happy. How could that be? You give anybody everything that they ever want. They get treated the way they want to be treated, anything that they've ever asked for, and they're guaranteed to be happy. Incorrect statement. What about the heart? What about the heart? Remember? Very good. I like the reference. Mm-hmm. The heart wants what it wants. Very good. I love it. Think about what I'm saying. Because the heart stops. And most of us, we don't even know what we want. And you hear that confession. You don't even know what you want. You have no clue what life's about. You don't even know what you want. But guess what? He knows because he exists within your heart. He knows what you're capable of. He knows that you can be condemned or you can be saved and redeemed. He knows that you're capable of walking outright. Outright. Goodness. I told you a million times already. Mm-hmm. Think about what I'm saying. He knows about the heart. And he knows what your dearest, nearest wants and needs are. And the absolute truth, Lord, forgive me. The moment you don't possess him within substance, maternalize it, fabricate it, manifest it. I'm talking about productivity here. Can we grow within this relationship? Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I heard what you did last night. I still ain't mad at you. The moment you grow within him, you'll never have anything to worry about. You don't have to set it to the side. You don't have to pacify. What type of life shall you lead or should you live to where all of a sudden, finally I can exhale. I got Whitney Houston going real quick. You know what I mean? Finally I can exhale. And guess what? I'm not expecting a bodyguard either. But guess what? Now here comes my turn. Now you know what? I'm just going to start living life for all these other individuals I felt like did things for me. But he spent his whole life, not carelessly either, he's extremely devoted to the freedoms, the liberties, the righteousness, the joy and happiness that you are embracing and enduring every day. So tell me it's not true. Please tell me it's not true. Please don't tell me you're cheating on me. Oh God, help me, please. Please tell me you're not leaving and walking out on our family. Please tell me it isn't true. For he spent eternity in his whole life, the creation way back to BC, AD, AD, BC, all the way up to now, as it is in the beginning, as it is in the end, trying to make sure that you have a safe passage, that you have a right of way, that you are capable of making it to eternity. And regardless of what venues, what storms, what encounters, relationships, ups and downs, twists and turns, setbacks and failures, that you've honored to be embraced, that you still got him in heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Life or Death Ministries. Sometimes we come so close to death morally, but yet physically we need to be reminded there's a reason why we're alive. And let's not take it for granted. I mean, it truly is a gift. Let's close in prayer. Don't forget to follow Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. You'll be impressed. I got daily Bible studies posted on the Facebook page. You really get into it. If you want Q&As, we can do question and answers. You want to do some webinars, we'll get a group of us together. We can do adult Bible studies or lecturing. We can accomplish that. Our gracious Heavenly Father and Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, with life, with love, with grace, with accepted. Let us possess this unrestricted view of heaven. Truly let the door open to eternity and let us see the gifts that you have in front of us. Let us be capable of embracing them eternally in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, to where they maternalize and get implemented in every practical application of deed that we shall have in our lives. Let us be reminded of the darkness and the value that can be found within it. For this little light of mine, it still continues up to shine because of you. And so help me that each and every day that I find the acceptance, not the resentment, but the acceptance of being submissive to the truths that you've provided me. However I may try to defile them, I am not capable, nor should I be able. I am only capable of providing and giving back to you. With full support, acknowledgement, love, grace, and acceptance, continue to guide me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a very, very good evening. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the continued support. I couldn't do it without you.